Luke 9:51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The time had come. His hour was nigh. He was keeping a schedule, an eternal schedule. And he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross. It'll take a little while, but he's coming to the last leg of his journey. And he's steadfast. His face is set. He can't be stopped. Sister passage, Mark, chapter 10, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. He started. They're walking. The followers are following. He's on a quest. He's got a mission. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. The leader of the pack. And they were amazed. Why were they amazed? Why is that right there? Picture it. I can't see it, but I almost can. He's out in front. His strides are long. His eyes are ahead. It's as if there's something exciting there waiting for him. But it's not. I think I'd have been trudging, shuffling, head down. I don't picture him that way. I don't know any of this. I'm just thinking. They're having trouble keeping up. They're amazed at his pace. Back in the early 70s, there was a plane crash in the Andes Mountains. A men's soccer team. They give up the search. After a couple of weeks, the radio is still functioning on the plane to receive but not to send. They know the search is over. There was a book written about that called Alive. High adventure book, sad book, sobering book. They survive where there's no food. Some of them survive. Some of them refuse to survive because they won't eat the food that they're to eat. And I don't want to get too much into this part of it, but they're eating the bodies of the ones who hadn't made it. They make it through the worst of the winter. There were three men in the group, one of them with a quest. The three men have been picked, but one picked himself. He's walking out of there when spring breaks. His name is Nando Parado. He's going to civilization. They begin to feed these three men special rations, if I could say it that way. Little extra to strengthen them up. It comes time to go. The weather seems to be breaking. They think if they can just make it over the next mountain, they'll be able to see the valley there where they can find help. Three start out on that journey. They come to the ridge where they can see beyond, and all they can see is mountains. One turns back. Two keep going. Nando Parado, Roberto Canessa. Parado, he's on a mission. His strides are long. Canessa's trying to keep up and falls back to a point where he can barely see him every once in a while. But nothing stops Parado. He's walking out of that place. He's going home. I don't know if that's fitting. I picture that scene where you've got this man who's nothing can stop him. He's on a quest. He's on a mission. I picture Jesus there amazed. Canessa was amazed at the endurance of Parado. They're walking behind Jesus, and there's something about this man that at that point, it's amazing. The pace he's keeping, the mission he's on, the determination. Steadfastly set his face. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going for you. He's going to go, and nothing can stop him. Hell can't stop him. Men can't stop him. He's on a mission. Steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and they followed. As they followed, they were afraid. They've warned him not to come back. Surely we don't go back there with him. Thomas would say, well, let's go with him and we'll all die. In John chapter 12, they're afraid. What if we get there and they try to kill us? Jesus says they're going. Well, I'm going there so they can kill me. But they won't bother you. They don't know all that. They should know some of those things, but they haven't been listening.
Right. That's exactly right.
They're afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, shall scourge him, shall spit upon him, shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And he's on a quest. He can't be stopped. He's heading to Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 50. Just let's go to get verse 6 so we'll set the stage and be sure who the prophet's talking about. He's talking about this Jesus. It says in verse 6 of Isaiah 50, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's Jesus. Next verse. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I'll not be stopped. I'll not be ashamed. I'll not give in to some thoughts that he's really having. He's real. I'll not be confounded. God will help me. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I'll not be ashamed. I'll not turn back. I'll not veer left. I'll not stray right. I'll take the straight shot. I'm going to the cross. And I know what they're going to do to me when we get there, but I'm going anyway.
Right.
That's love.
Amen, sir.
That's love. That's the will of God. Right. But that's love.
Right.
Let's look at this Jesus for a little while. He's a smart man. Real smart man. About the smartest there ever been. He's the smartest that's ever been. Of all of them. True. Can't trap him. Can't get him unless he wants to get God. They had him on the edge of the cliff. And they're about to push it. There's nothing there. Where is he? I thought you had him. You had him last. They pick up rocks to stone him, and just as they're starting to wind up, he's not there. The target's missing. Pretty sharp fella, isn't he? He can just vanish out of their midst. Sent the guards to get him. Yeah. Big guys, tough guys, armed guys.
Right.
They come back with their man every time.
Yeah.
They come up. I don't know what he said.
Right.
I don't know how he said it. We've already heard today about some folks that got astonished at his doctrine.
Yeah.
That he spoke words and it just kind of got you some way. These guys come in the mood to take him, and they ended up sitting in church for a while, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know for sure.
Right.
He's preaching wherever they are. I don't think it's a church like this church, exactly, but I think it's sort of a worship service. I don't know what it was. Anyway, he's talking, and they start listening. They kind of forgot what it's all about, and kind of forgot their orders, and kind of forgot who they were. And they started figuring out something about him. And all of a sudden, church is over. He's gone on somewhere else, and they're still standing there grinning. I'm adding a lot, aren't I? All that's not really in there, but can't you see it? And then they both look at each other, all of them look at each other, however many of them there was that got sent to get him, and where'd he go? Well, he wasn't so tricky that time. It wasn't like he was slippery and just slipped through their hands like he'd done before. He just kind of talked a while, and they got overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then they kind of go back, you know, and they're shuffling in. There's the big shots that sent him out. Said, where is he?
Yeah.
That's kind of what they said. He's going to throw rocks at him, wasn't it? Where is he? I thought you had him. I thought you were going to bring him back. And you know what they said? Y'all getting ahead of me. That's my line. No, that's their line. Never a man spake like this man, in case y'all didn't hear all these up here that's getting the punchline for me. Never a man spake like that man. He's sharp, isn't he? He can turn enemies into friends with a word. Doesn't he do that pretty regularly with his word? When he speaks and we shall hear and shall live. Isn't he pretty good at turning his enemies into his friends? Though the carnal mind that's enmity against God all of a sudden's in love with him. Man, you ain't ever seen a guy like this. I sort of picture a seventh grade boy and he's just in love for the first time and he's just sitting looking. He doesn't know what he's looking at. He's just kind of dumbfounded, isn't he? He never felt like that before. He didn't know you could feel like that in this world. Never a man spake like that, man. I don't really know where he is now, sir. Maybe he'll try again tomorrow. I don't know. You see, he's pretty sharp. Real smart. You don't get him unless he wants to get God. Remember that one?
Right.
Strong man. Real strong man. Huh? One of the strongest. Maybe the strongest.
Yeah.
Strongest man's ever lived.
Yeah, right.
He didn't look like it, maybe on the outside. Strong man. Man, he had power. Great strength. There was one time, they all thought these goners. Don't you even care, man? Thought you was our friend. You're supposed to be something special, I thought, and you're asleep and we're about to drown. Don't you even care that we perish? The story went on for a while, but I'm thinking about the strong man part right now.
Right.
You know what he said? You got that too, didn't you? That's the punchline. Peace. Be still. They just thought they were scared at the storm.
Yeah.
He's stronger than the storm. Storms are scary. The man that holds the storms in his hands and gives the orders to storms. And the storm's listening here. I mean, I didn't tell a storm to go away, but it keeps on coming. He tells it to stop, and it stopped.
Yeah.
And there's a great calm, it says.
Amen.
There's not a riffle.
Right.
There's not a breeze. And they're really overwhelmed now by this one who has power over the wind and the waves. He's a strong man. He's a whole lot stronger than storms. Storms can't get him. If he takes an ocean, he can just walk on top of those waves.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And while he's walking on top of those waves, somewhere above the troubles of the world, not hardly up plumb in heaven, but somewhere between the heaven and the earth, he just says to an old boy, come. And that old boy flew off from the earth and walked above the troubles for a minute. And he says that to anybody that's in trouble. You come. That storm's nothing to me.
Right.
And storms aren't always in oceans, and storms aren't always according to the wind. Storms can come into lives in a lot of categories.
Amen.
And he just says, come. And he's stronger than the storm. Whatever the storm is, he's stronger than the storm.
Amen.
He can speak peace. He's a strong man. He's pretty smart man. I'm not a pretty smart man. He's smartest ever been. I got to keep telling myself that. I kind of seem to underrate him in every category. He's strongest ever been. Let me tell you. Satan had been after him for a long time. Why? He's just less than 2 years old. Satan's going to get him. Going to use old Herod to get him. End up killing all the little boy babies in that whole section there. He didn't get Jesus, did he?
That's right.
He ought to have been able to get him when he was a baby, ought he? He couldn't get him. Took him face to face, one on one, when Jesus put it. Now, I said he's strong, and he is strong, but he got pretty weak there after not eating for 40 days. Satan said, I can get him now. It is a three rounder, and Jesus won with a knockout, even in that weakened condition. You remember that one, don't you? But then there's another time. Satan's got 6,000 of his boys, and it's just Jesus. I reckon that's about how many he must have had. They call that man Legion, and best I can figure, best I can look up and learn, that's 6,000. And all these 6,000 devils in that one man. And Jesus comes up, and it's 6,000 on one. They're not in the mood to fight. All that 6,000, looks like all together, they just jumped on him. They've been on this old Legion man for a long time. He's running around in the graveyard and can't even be chained and doesn't wear clothes. And he's a sight, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. Till Jesus got through with him. Then he's a sight again in a different category.
Yeah, that's right.
When he's at the feet of Jesus. Well, I'm getting ahead, aren't I? He's still got those devils in him. 6,000 devils in one man. My goodness, I reckon one could probably disrupt life pretty good. Jesus comes along. That man's needing a help, isn't he? Jesus comes along. Instead of those devils jumping on him, now he's a strong man, strongest ever was. And those devils know better than to jump on him. So they start bargaining. Said, whatever you do, don't throw us in that water, please. He says, okay. And there's a herd of pigs over there, 2,000 of them. That's a big herd of pigs, isn't it? There are 6,000 devils. He says, all right, you don't want to go in the water, just jump on those pigs. I reckon every pig's got three apiece that worked out either. You know what the pigs do? They go run in the water. You know where the devils ended up? You know who's in charge? That strong man Jesus. Devils can't stop him. Jesus was a strong man. But Jesus was a strategist. Ah. He was a guy that could have a plan and make it work. Cool Hand Luke kind of guy. He had a plan. Remember where he's going? Remember where he steadfastly set his face to go?
Jerusalem.
That's right. That's part of the plan. He knew where he'd going. He'd known him a long time. Reckon how long he'd known where he was going. You know it says in Acts 15 verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Was that a work of God? I reckon it was. Known unto God are all his works, and he'd known that clear back from the beginning. Why, it tells me that he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Reckon he knew about that before he ever created the world? He spoke all things into existence, but he had a strategy. He had a plan. He was eyeing a bride already.
Yeah.
He knew how she's going to look. He knew how pretty she was going to be. He had a plan. He's gonna have that bride someday. She's going to be his. He had a plan. You reckon? Jesus knew who the woman's seed was in Genesis chapter 3. Yeah, I reckon he probably did. He knew then, didn't he? You reckon he knew what David was talking about in Psalm 22? When David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You think Jesus said, Father, can you explain that to me? Is that really talking about something important? Seven times at least in that one psalm that it speaks specifically of not a crucifixion, but the crucifixion. In detail, he knew about it that long ago. You think he knew what Isaiah 53 was talking about when Isaiah penned it?
Yeah.
I reckon he probably did. I reckon he had a plan all the way along. He knew all about it. Clear on up to the time he got here. I've counted 13 sure times without fudging and a whole lot more than that, really, if you start reading between the lines. 13 times he told them, just like he told them right here, why he was going. They're going to take me and they're going to mock me and they're going to spit on me and they're going to hang me on a cross and they're going to kill me. He knew where he was going. All the way along he knew where he was going. He always had known where he's going. He's got a plan. He's a great strategist. But the plan would happen in his time.
Yep.
He's really in control of the whole thing. Well, all the way through, seems like, especially in Mark, just over and over time, and again he'll say, now don't y'all go tell everybody about this. You just kind of keep this under your hat. That's not King James. But all of a sudden, he comes into Jerusalem this time after he set his face steadfast to go, and he arrives on the scene and he has a parade to enter this time. He'd slipped in, seemed to me, like a time or two before. They didn't know he was coming, and he just kind of slipped in. But this time, he enters with a parade.
Yeah.
And he gets there, and he's... I don't know exactly what word to use. This week where he arrives, is confrontational too sharp a word? A little antagonistic? Kind of a get right in your face kind of thing. Like spending all of Matthew chapter 23 calling them hypocrites. Now, everything he said was true. But all of a sudden he's come in public with some accusations that he hadn't been so prone to bring up lately. It's almost like he's kind of arranging even other people's heads. Fooling around with folks, you know. Kind of doing something by his determinate counsel and foreknowledge. But they, by wicked hands, are going to do something on his schedule. I don't want to go so far as say he's manipulating them. But it's all working out, isn't it? I'm not blaming him for their sins. They sinned.
Right.
They were kind of stirred up to follow the schedule, weren't they? Is that going too far? All of a sudden, the sermon's over that we heard preached about this morning. John 14 through 16. The prayer's been said in John 17. Matter of fact, in the middle of the sermon, it seems to me, at the end of John 14, he says, "Rise, let's be going." Then he keeps on preaching while they're walking. Evidently. Seems like. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem. Now he's got still a schedule to keep. He's got to get to a garden. Mm-hmm. And the sermon's going on, but the walking's going on too, as his face is steadfast towards the cross. He comes to a garden and he prays and he prays, and no man ever prayed like that prayer that night. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He's in an agony. This isn't a show. He's already said that, I'm really in a strait about this baptism I'm going to, and he'd already been baptized with water. His difficulty that's causing him a difficulty in mind is the cross. It's not like he's heading towards it and all excited about getting to do it. Maybe he is in a way, but he's not in a way. He's a real man. All the way, man. It says in John, my spirit's troubled within me, but what am I supposed to say now, Father? Let me get out of this? No, for this hour I came. For this hour. He's keeping the schedule. He's watching his clock. He comes to that garden and he spends just the right amount of time praying. And then here comes the mob. Remember that strong man? It's untelling how many is there. He says, who are you looking for? We looking for Jesus. You leave out the italicized word, and he said, I am.
That's right. Right.
I am. And when I am said I am, they done gone down.
Yep.
They fell down backwards.
Yes.
He's a strong man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Why didn't he run? Like a flint. That face like a flint. He's looking at a cross. He's going to a cross. He says, you let these, my friends, go. They wasn't in any shape to let somebody do anything, were they? Then he lets them get up. They get to feeling froggy. Then they tie him up. You reckon those ropes could have held him? They take him and nail him to a cross. You reckon those nails could have held him? You think anybody did anything to him he didn't let them do? Who's in charge here? Who's the strategist?
Yeah.
Who's bringing the plan to pass? Who's manipulating? Satan himself. Jesus is. Says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the princes of this world had known what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Nobody had any idea what was happening here except the man with the plan.
That's right.
And he brought it all to a crescendo right here.
Right.
This is what it's all about.
Right.
He's making him a bride. Fit to be with him forever.
Yes.
He's got to take everything wrong with her away from her and give everything's right with him to her.
Amen.
And he'll do
Amen.
It right now.
Right.
He hangs on the cross because he outsmarted all of them. He paid for our sins because he's stronger than all of them. His plan worked out just like it was supposed to. Wow. That's better than Superman, isn't it? Better than anything you can think of. Better than any other story any man's ever been able to write.
Yes, sir.
Better than fiction. It's real. He's real. Three days later, early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came looking for his dead body. And the angel said, he is not here. He is risen. Victorious over the grave. Purified his bride. She'll be with him one day forever. The will of Jesus Christ to set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. The only thing that I've ever discovered that can override the will of God, control the will of God, let me say it that way. What can rule the will of God and make him so determined to go to Jerusalem, to go to a cross for you and for me? love. His love. Love is the underlying everything about your Savior. Love is who He is and what He is and what He's all about. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Elect according to what? God's intimate one-on-one relationship with each one of His children. That's what foreknowledge is wrapped up says. He chose us because He loved us. He set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem because He loved us. The thing that even rules the will of God and makes Him not turn back though He's dreading it is His love for you and for me. God bless you.
There.